How's everybody doing? Good. All right, well, open your Bibles to Psalm 23. And Liz will be reading for us. It will be on the screen if you don't have it in front of you. Am I kind of loud? I can hear a lot of in my ears. I'll try to fix it. Is that better? All right, Psalm 23. Liz, are you ready? Is it too short for you?
Yes.
Let's see if I can fix it.
I'm not.
You're taller than me, so.
Yeah. I'm not a petite.
Not a petite person? Fair enough. All right. Whenever you're ready.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my soul, renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, house of the Lord as long as I live.
Amen. Thank you, Liz.
Welcome.
All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this congregation, this community. Thank you for the call that's on this church, for this time, for this city, for the way that you're working in each and every life and all of us together. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come and be among us? Would you be tangible to us this morning? Speak to our hearts and our minds. Would you break down strongholds? Help us to follow after your pattern, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. In 2018, Lacey and I were on our way back from a very short mission trip in Cambodia, and we had a great opportunity to spend 12 hours in Dubai. Very long trip. And so we got to explore the city, we got to go to the mall, we got to see the world's tallest building, the Burj Khalifa. If you want to see that on the screen. And our trip leaders planned this surprise excursion out into the desert with our last several hours that we were so excited for. We got to go dune smashing in jeeps, whatever that means. It terrified Lacey. And while one group was going, I was sitting by the headquarters with our driver, the guy who had brought us out into the desert. And I can't remember his name, and I won't pretend to know it. But he was a Pakistani man who had moved to Dubai a long time ago to work. And we just struck up a conversation while we waited. And naturally, me as a follower of Jesus and him as a Muslim, we wanted to evangelize to each other. So we started talking about faith, and I started sharing why I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, why I believe that the Gospels are reliable, why I believe the resurrection is a historical fact, why I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only path to the Father. Naturally, he shared his opinion as well and why he believes in Islam and what it has done for his life. And we ended the conversation very cordially. I told him, hey, you should explore this scholar. And he said, you should explore this scholar. And he said, okay. So we got back into the vehicle, him in the driver's seat and another guy in the passenger seat, and then like six Bible college students packed into the back of this Jeep. And we were planning on heading off to an authentic Arab dinner out in the desert. So we start driving along, and we're under the impression that it's like a 15, 20-minute drive. But we keep driving and we keep driving, and we're out in the middle of the desert in the UAE, and our drivers, I mean, I don't know what the kilometer to miles per hour translation is, but it was north of 100, I would assume. So anxiety is starting to build and time is starting to go by. And man, before you know it, we're in this car for 45 minutes or an hour. And all along, he's playing this dubstep as loud, I swear, max volume, that would just interrupt. And then before you know it, it'd be like an old man yelling. And then it would go, and then at some point, he starts talking on the phone, and he's speaking Arabic, so obviously we can't understand him. We've been in the car for an hour. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Biases start to creep in. I'm starting to worry. Oh my gosh, I just shared the gospel with this Muslim man from Pakistan, and now we are absolutely at his mercy. And this 20-minute drive has turned into an hour. My face is pale. I start reading the scripture. Jesus says in Matthew, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Thinking, this persecution Katie's talking about, this is about to happen to me. I'm too young. I haven't even gotten married yet. So he's talking on the phone in Arabic, and we have no idea what's going on. We're all so anxious. Tensions are high. Then after about an hour or so, he turns around and he looks at us and he goes, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm lost. I have never felt more relieved and more racist at the same time. Praise God that I was wrong. When we follow Jesus all the way through the pattern of Jesus, there are dangers at play. Real dangers, like what our friend Bob and others experience all over the world, and perceived dangers like my own, even fear itself as a danger. But both to our own hearts and our own minds are real in those moments, and we have to grapple with them. These last few weeks and in this upcoming week, as Katie shared, we're in our 21 days of prayer season, which we do twice a year. And today we're starting our third week, which is the out orientation. So week one, we talk about praying up, which is our relationship with God and how we relate to him, how we follow him, kind of a checkup, what are we kind of an interaction. Week two is praying in, where we pray for the body. We pray for one another. What are the needs within the community? And what is God doing here? And week three, which we're starting today, which might be the hardest for a lot of us, is praying out. A comprehensive Christian life doesn't just end with me. It doesn't just end with we or us, but extends to them, to out. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And this morning we're putting this in the context. Did I lose my mic? We're putting this in the context of Psalm 23, which is one of the most famous prayers ever written. And so we're going to talk about that. And if you can, if you're taking notes this morning, or if you need that one sentence to kind of remember things, this is what we're getting after this morning. Attentive flocks follow the shepherd as he seeks and saves lost sheep in dark valleys. An attentive flock follows the shepherd into dark valleys to seek and to save the lost. So we'll do three things: the lost sheep, the brave shepherd, and the attentive flock. First, the lost sheep. Psalm 23 starts off with the sentence, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that's the foundation for the rest of the passage, the rest of the psalm. Every blessing, every reality, every emotion flows from this reality that the Lord is my shepherd. But what is the opposite of that? What is the inverse of having the Lord as your shepherd? If the Lord is my shepherd means abundance, provision, guidance, love, closeness with the one my soul was designed to be close with, what's the inverse? David Powelson, a late theologian, writes this anti-Psalm 23. And I want you to hear this, and wherever you're at this morning, I want you to think, does this describe me and my relationship to myself, my relationship to the world, my relationship to God? I'm on my own. No one looks out for me or protects me. I experience a continual sense of need. Nothing's quite right. I'm always restless. I'm easily frustrated and often disappointed. It's a jungle. I feel overwhelmed. It's a desert. I'm thirsty. My soul feels broken, twisted, and stuck. I can't fix myself. I stumble down some dark paths. Still, I insist. I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want, but life is confusing. A sheep without a shepherd is in a constant state of lack. A constant state of lack. Lack of guidance, lack of provision, lack of protection. Sometimes, though, a sheep might not notice that the shepherd's gone. If you're in green pastures or you're walking beside still waters without a shepherd, you might not notice that the rod and staff are absent, right? You're too busy munching on green grass. You're too busy listening to the water, maybe getting a drink. But the reality of life is that no matter with or without a shepherd, we all wander eventually into a dark valley. Circumstances are good, circumstances are bad. Life isn't stable, right? Sometimes things are good, sometimes things are bad, with God or without God. And as we walk into these dark valleys, especially if we're without a shepherd, there are plenty of dangers that are waiting and wait for us, that are lying in wait for us. Predators, holes and crevices, just getting lost, hunger, fear itself. For a sheep without a shepherd to wander, you may start in a green pasture, but the dark valleys are inevitable. And we'll encounter these things with or without Jesus. Dark valleys are inevitable, but we encounter them with or without the shepherd. In our own lives, we experience these things. Sometimes things are good, sometimes things are bad, but if we're pursuing our own path, if we're wandering based on our own desires, if we're wandering based on what feels right to us, and we do what we want, when we want, how we want, as we wander through life and we leave green pastures and we enter into these dark valleys, we are there without the presence of a shepherd. As we experience financial difficulties or health problems or marital issues or job loss or grieving family members, experiencing these things without a shepherd is to be in a state of lack. To be in a state of lack. And this wandering away from the shepherd is our default experience as humans. You and I, although we are made to be with the shepherd, our default choice, our default action is to wander away from him. Because we're sheep, and sheep wander away from shepherds. They get kind of derpy and they just kind of drift. If they didn't, sheepdogs wouldn't need a job, right? But just like sheep, we by default wander away from the shepherd and need to be called back. Paul puts this clearly in Romans 3. He says in 3:10, there is no one righteous, no, not one. In other words, like Isaiah writes, all like sheep have gone astray. Paul puts it again more clearly in Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You and I were created to be in relationship with the shepherd, to be close with the shepherd, but all of us wander away. Either you have wandered or you are wandering. Even if you're in a green pasture or beside still waters, life is good. Life without the shepherd is not stable. You're in a state of lack. And those valleys are inevitable. Here's the good news this morning. If you're in a dark valley without a shepherd, If you feel like life circumstances are overwhelming and you feel far from God, you feel like you're on your own, you want to do what you want to do, but God, you know you can't get through this on your own, I have good news for you. Jesus always, in his time on earth and now through the Holy Spirit, Jesus always pursued sheep in dark valleys. That was always where he went. In Luke 15, this is the brave shepherd. Luke 15, Jesus describes a shepherd with 100 sheep. Maybe you've heard this story. He has 100 sheep and one wanders off, as we do, wanders off. And this shepherd, he leaves the 99 sheep to go and pursue the one. And when he finds her, he doesn't just whistle, he doesn't just call, but he carries her home and throws a party. He carries her home and he throws a party. And in John 10, verse 11, Jesus self-identifies with this parable. He says, I am the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If our true colors as sheep is to wander, to drift, to do what we want, to be driven by our own desires and ambitions, Jesus reveals the true colors of God in that he, by default, pursues the lost, no matter how far he has to go or what he has to give up. In Jesus, we see a God who looked down from heaven and saw a world full of dark valleys, and dark valleys populated with sheep wandering around trying to find the exit, but with absolutely no hope of doing so. Driven by their own desires, their own ambitions, unable to grapple with life circumstances because they were sheep without a shepherd. The difference between a responsible shepherd and a good shepherd is that a responsible shepherd does the math. 99 out of 100 is pretty good. That one sheep is probably not worth getting eaten by a bear. A good shepherd or a brave shepherd is willing to lay down his life for that one sheep. Jesus is not just a responsible shepherd, he's a brave shepherd. And if you were the only one lost in that crevice, lost in that dark valley, lost in that shadow, and the rest of the world was in green pastures with him, I think he would still go into the valley for you. And he would do so with full awareness of the dangers at hand. He would do so with the full awareness of the messiness of your circumstances. He would do so with the knowledge that when he calls and comes to carry you home, you might hide from him. And I know that because Jesus left heaven with a specific task in mind, and that was to die on a cross for you. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. When he died on the cross, he was doing the dirty work. He was getting his hands dirty. He was carrying us from dark valleys back to not just to green pastures, not just to solve problems, but to be with him. And if you feel like you're far from the shepherd this morning, if you feel like you are distant from God, and maybe you feel like you're in green pastures and things are good without God, but if you feel like you're in dark valleys, in difficult circumstances, unable to cope with the realities of life, I'm telling you that the good shepherd is pursuing you. He's calling out to you. And his heart is to carry you. His heart is to carry you. I think this picture of the good shepherd leaving the green pastures, leaving the quiet waters to pursue the one lost sheep in the dark valley is a heroic picture. And I almost think about it like an adventure movie. And when I was thinking about this yesterday, I imagined it like a Pixar adventure movie. You just have this protagonist who's pursuing this goal of rescuing whoever. In this case, it's the shepherd coming over the mountain with a torch and this brave look on his face, and he's pursuing this lost sheep, and she's scared, and she's got a broken leg. But like any good kids' adventure movie, the protagonist has to have a goofy animal companion, right? Moana has that chicken. There it is. I don't know. I've seen it maybe once. Shrek has donkey. Not an animal, but Lightning McQueen has Tow-Mater. Right? You're tracking. It's a theme. It's a thing. Well, this good shepherd, this heroic protagonist, crosses over the mountain and enters into this dark valley, heroic look on his face, torch in hand, mission in mind, and like 10 feet behind him is this derpy sheep who followed him from the flock, thinking, yeah, let's go on a trip. Let's go find my friend. I can offer very little in terms of support, but I'll be there for you. That's us, or at least it's supposed to be. And believe me, I am the derpiest sheep behind the shepherd. Like, it's if you're like, I'm unqualified to go on this mission, like, I am the equivalent of donkey to Shrek, essentially. Just talking the protagonist's ear off while he's trying to actually accomplish something. But these animal companions, they always play a critical role, right? They're dumb, but they always come through at the right moment. And Jesus has positioned you and I with the knowledge that there is a mission at hand, and it's critical, and it's dangerous, but he wants you to participate. He wants you, Tow-Mater, to participate in a rescue mission. No, you're not the savior. No, you're not the hero. No, the story's not about you, but you are invited nonetheless. And if the Lord is our shepherd and he's calling us to be attentive sheep, then I know with confidence that Psalm 23, verse 4 is true for us. Psalm 23, 4 is true for us. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let me give you three ideas real quick that are practical. One, again, our world is full of dark valleys populated with lost sheep. In other words, we are surrounded in Ottawa, in the Illinois Valley, in our world, in Central Asia, where our friends are. We are surrounded by sheep without shepherds. And whether life is good for them or life is bad for them, they are in a state of lack because they lack the presence of the shepherd. And whether they know it or not, life is not determined, the quality of life is not determined by circumstances, but by the presence or absence of the good shepherd. And a comprehensive faith, a true life that's patterned after the pattern of Jesus, where we're seeking to live in love after the pattern of Jesus, doesn't stop with me. It's not a personal thing that I just do with God, and it's just us. And it's not just we. It doesn't end when we, at the doors, the barriers to our building. A full faith extends to lost sheep. And while this is difficult and there are dangers at hand, there's fear of people's opinions, there's fear of difficult conversations, there's fear of just grappling with other people's life circumstances as we try to share this gospel with them. But we really can be non-anxious people in a world full of chaos. And we can do that not in seclusion, not in isolation, but we can be non-anxious while stepping into the mission that God has at hand for us. If you don't know this phrase or this attribute, being non-anxious is being a person who does not allow the chaos around them to create chaos within them. And Ranjit David, who's a blog writer, provides some practical steps towards becoming a non-anxious presence for lost sheep. And I'm going to give these to you. First, recognize and acknowledge your fears and anxieties. Is there anything that is more anxiety-provoking than trying to share the gospel with someone or try to talk about religion with somebody who's not a Christian? Does anything else in faith make you more anxious? I don't know if anything makes me more anxious. Don't hide from those anxieties. Don't hide from those fears. Don't let them sideline you. Imagine if all of us understood what was making us anxious, what was stopping us from pursuing lost sheep, what was hindering us or keeping us on the sideline, and actually processed those things and then came to the conclusion and realized that, oh, there, I can grapple with these things. These things might be barriers, but they're not walls that are insurmountable. Recognize and acknowledge your fears, and then invite the Holy Spirit for guidance. I can fear no evil, for you are with me. With me. You are not the hero. You are not the protagonist. Jesus is pursuing lost sheep, and he's just inviting you to come along for the ride. Three, prioritize listening over solving problems, being patient, and trusting God's work in the person's life. This is, if you want to talk about alpha, if you are on, you know, if you feel like you're a lost sheep, I invite you to alpha. I invite you to alpha because nobody's going to preach at you at alpha, but we'll listen to your questions and we'd love to talk. And then four, learn to pattern your relationships after Jesus. Jesus was always the initiator of relationships, but he was never desperate, never judgmental, never hurried. We have a mission, and we've been given everything. Everything that we need to accomplish that mission. Our world is full of lost sheep in need of a shepherd, and God has invited you and me to participate in that rescue mission. And there are dangers in that. There are fears and anxieties in that. There are difficulties in that. There's awkwardness in that. But he has given you everything you need, Peter says, for life and godliness. The worship team wants to come back up this morning. I want to conclude with a story from John chapter 11. Jesus hears about his friend Lazarus passing away in John 11. And Jesus is up in Galilee, which is green pastures for him. He's there with his disciples. He's traveling around from village to village teaching. He's generally safe. And he hears that his good friend Lazarus, who is like a brother to him, has passed away all the way down south in Judea, where many of Jesus' enemies were. If Galilee, where Jesus was living, was a green pasture, in order to go and to redeem and resurrect his friend Lazarus, he was going to have to enter a dark valley. He was going to have to enter a dark valley. So he hears about this news, and he turns to his disciples, and he has this interaction with them. He said this, and then he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up." Then the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well." Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe. but let's go to him. In other words, I have a sheep who's in a dark valley. I need to go to him. And the disciples in that moment, they had two options. They could stay in green pastures without the shepherd, sit on the sidelines while he pursued a lost sheep, or they could enter into the dark valley. They could walk with the shepherd, maybe a few feet behind, and pursue the mission that God had called them to. And in verse 16, Thomas responds to Jesus instinctively and says, and actually says to his fellow disciples, let's go too, so that we may die with him. Jesus was determined to pursue Lazarus and to bring him home. But what would the flock do? When presented with this dilemma, Thomas knew his answer immediately. I'd rather go into the valley with the shepherd than stay in the pasture while he does the work. Would you? Would I? Would you stand with me this morning? I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning, because this is an action-oriented discussion. There's work to be done. There's a mission to be accomplished. There's lost sheep to find. And the prayer team, if you guys want to come forward, let me talk to two groups this morning. If you are in a position this morning where you're like, man, I'm good up, and maybe I'm good in, but God, I need you to empower me to go out. I know that's me. I know that that's me. That makes me anxious. It's something I want to avoid. But if you're in your chair this morning saying, I know God has called me to follow Jesus into dark valleys. I know he's called me to pursue lost sheep. I know he's called me to be a witness and an ambassador to all neighbors and all nations. But you need more. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you. Will you come to the front this morning? Will you come and receive prayer? And we're going to sing I Surrender All once we've come to the front. And I just want to give you this opportunity to come forward and say, Lord, I surrender all. I've been holding on to this thing that I don't want to do. I've been keeping this thing out of my faith journey. I have fear of man, and I have fear of opinions, and I have fear of culture wars, but I just want to follow you and surrender, Jesus. And let me talk to one other group of people. If you're here this morning, and you feel like a lost sheep in a dark valley, you know you're far from God. You know the shepherd is pursuing you, but you haven't responded. This morning, there's an opportunity to hear his voice and respond in faith. So I invite you to come forward as well. And if that's scary or difficult, you can come forward during the song. But all these people down here who have committed to surrender to Jesus in a way where they want to be outward oriented, they can pray for you. So if you feel lost this morning, if you feel far from God this morning, we're going to sing, and I encourage you to surrender yourself to the shepherd, because he wants to carry you home. So we'll sing I Surrender All together, and then we'll come together again and pray at the end.